This is an IELTS Energy Podcast, episode 744. IELTS Pro Daniel teaches top tips for writing task one.
Welcome to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English with your hosts, former IELTS examiner Jessica Beck and Lindsay McMahon, the English adventurer. With hundreds of band 7, 8, and 9 success stories, our strategies are the smartest in the IELTS world. Get your estimated band score now with our 2-minute quiz. Go to allearsenglish.com/myscore.
Today, you'll meet Australian IELTS professional Daniel and learn how lack of thinking destroys your IELTS Task 1 scores. Hello, hello, IELTS Energy fans. If you are new to the show, welcome. I'm going to tell you, though, today is not your average everyday episode because we have a special guest, my friend Daniel. Daniel, welcome to IELTS Energy.
Hello, Jessica, and hello to your listeners.
Awesome. Daniel, where are you from?
I'm from Australia.
Okay, this is really exciting for us, Daniel. I'm just going to tell you, because we're always trying to get our students to practice accents from England and Australia for their IELTS exam. So thank you, because you're helping a lot of people out today.
Great, mate.
Oh, God. No, don't go that far. Okay. Cool. So Daniel is here because he has been teaching IELTS like forever. Daniel, how long have you been teaching IELTS for?
Probably too long. It's a bit embarrassing to say how long.
longer than me. I know that.
Half of my natural life.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, then we can say that you are a foremost expert in IELTS, I believe.
Maybe.
So Daniel's here to talk about task one. So lately, guys, we've done a lot of advice for writing and writing fluency, but we focused a lot in the last couple of weeks on task two. So today we're going to talk about task one and maybe what students are doing that are keeping them from getting that seven. Okay. Because right, seven is like the magic number. Do you find that most of your students are like aiming for a seven in writing?
Yes, 6.5 or 7, but the difference between 6.5 and 7 is a hard one to overcome.
Yeah, no, we get so many students in Three Keys IELTS that come in with 6.5s, and they're like, I've taken the test like 10 times, and I cannot get that 7. Why do you think like that half a band, it seems to be the most difficult half a band for students to overcome?
Well, it's because if you want to get 7, you have to get 7 in writing task 1 as well as writing task 2.
Okay, so students wonder about that because task 2 is worth twice as much, right? So, like, if you get a 6 in task 1, but you get a 7 in task 2, that's still an overall 7.
No, that's 6.5.
Oh, dang. Okay.
I think they round up in the overall IELTS scores, but in the writing, they round down.
Oh, those evil people. I feel like IELTS has this like magical math that they try to hide from everyone. And it just leaves students like going to all these forums and trying to second guess all of these, like whatever adds up. Okay. So IELTS can be very dark and nefarious. I've been using the word nefarious a lot lately. It's one of my favorites. Guys, nefarious is great for task two to describe things that are evil and wholly negative. I love it. Okay, so let's talk about task one then. Students kind of brush past this sometimes because they think, okay, task two is worth so much. I'm just going to practice that. But task one is super important, you guys. Like Daniel just said, if you don't get a 7 in task one, you're not going to get a 7 on writing. So let's help our students with task one. What is holding them back?
Well, I think the main thing is they just don't even really look at the task and understand what it's about. That's the main problem.
Yeah.
And then the other one is, you know, not writing an overview that actually is a good overview. And the other thing is actually not actually describing what the numbers or whatever the details are actually represent, not really even thinking about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, you have to take a minute. You got to take a minute to think about what the words mean. Like, I think what a lot of students do, because they, you know, like they memorize some strategies, right? They're like, okay, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to look at the task question and I'm going to change a couple words. And that's my first sentence. And then like, and then I'm going to like circle these numbers and write about them. But you have to think about what it means, because that affects your vocab score as well.
Absolutely.
Right.
So to get a 7 in vocab, you have to use some topic specific language, not just, you know, rose, fell, those kinds of words. You need to use some words that are particular to that.
Exactly.
Topic,
Yeah, and you know what? This coincides with advice that we give about task two, because students are memorizing like amazing template phrases, right? Like such and such is a shining example of whatever, which is great, guys, great, but you can't just memorize it and spit it out without having your own topic-specific vocab. So it's interesting that like that advice is just as important for task one as it is for task two. How can students practice this? Like, how can students try to think about what this graph means?
Well, that's kind of difficult, but I think they just actually have to look at the graph and think what it means. What I do with my students is I get them to put their finger on one number or one specific detail, and then get them to make a sentence to, you know, which demonstrates what that number is, what it represents.
Yeah.
So that actually makes them think about the actual subject, which is one of the big problems grammatically. They actually, and for CC as well, because if you actually write a whole writing task one description of a pie chart and you don't ever say what the percentages actually are a percentage of, then that's a referencing problem as well as a vocab problem, right?
That's true. Yeah, totally. Let me think of an example to sort of demonstrate the problems here that we're trying to get to. So guys, like I see a lot of sentences in task one, like say the subject is, you know, the number of people who attended a cinema in a certain whatever country. You could be like, the number, let me see. No, we'd be like, people increased to the movies or whatever. And I'm just like, or people grew. I love that. People grew. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, guys, first of all, the people aren't growing. Well, I mean, they are because they're eating too much popcorn, but that's not like what we're talking about. The focus is on the numbers, right? So all of these amazing number words that you're learning, you know, like skyrocket and plunge and stuff like that, you have to be using
the people skyrocketing.
Yeah, like that, right? The people plunged, the people skyrocketed. So first of all, that vocab is great, but remember that it is about numbers, right? It's not so much about like what the numbers represent. So I love this idea, guys. This is a great activity to include in your study plan. Before you start writing the essay, before you start practicing the task one essay, get like 5 different task one questions and do this exercise that Daniel just said. Just look at one number, even if it's like a pie chart, a table, a line graph, whatever. Look at one point or one number and just write a sentence about what that is, like what is happening at that point. What does that mean? And then you said that a lot of students don't even have an overview, but if they do, maybe it's not a good overview. So guys, remember, if you don't have an overview or an overall trend, your task score goes down to a 5. So, I mean, this is important. And as an examiner, I would look for the overall trend first, just so I would know, okay, like there's no overall trend, so it's going to be a 5 for a task. I mean, now I don't have to think about it.
I mean, okay, sometimes rarely there's a task which doesn't really seem to have any kind of pattern or trend or anything like that. And then you can kind of say, you can describe the biggest and the smallest. But if there is a trend or a pattern there, just mentioning the biggest and the smallest is not going to cut it. That's going to get you a 6 or a 5. It's not going to get you a 7.
That's true. That's true. And this goes back to thinking about what the numbers mean, taking time to actually look at the graph, right?
And
Yeah.
Also, I need to say with things which change, you want to look at them proportionally as well. Don't just look at the biggest number. Look at them, you know, in terms of as a percentage, which one increased the most in its own terms. Yeah. Relatively speaking, I guess you could say.
So, like, you're saying don't just say line A grew massively while line B grew kind of. Well, whatever. Well,
let's say line B went from 10 to 60 and line A went from 100 to 170. Obviously, line B increased, relatively speaking, by a greater amount, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, sometimes that's not important, but learning to look at things in that way actually opens the key to some other tasks I've seen where if you didn't think of it in that way, you would have missed the whole point of the graph, yeah?
Right, so. Hello, guys. A huge part of your IELTS score is your vocabulary. So how are you going to find high-level vocab words that get you a 7 or higher? In the All Ears English app, you can see vocab words we use with real-time transcripts on your screen. Tap for definitions and then save the words you want all in one place in the app. On your iOS device, go to allearsenglish.com/bonuses to download the app and start listening. See you in there, guys. So again, guys, it comes back to what is happening here. Like, I think students should look at task one more like a story and less like report, right? So, guys, I think maybe let's add to that activity that we gave you before, where how about you take a minute, take a few minutes to read the question, look at the numbers, and remember, guys, look at all the little words around the graph too. Right? Because if you miss that stuff, you're going to get all the numbers wrong. Yes, there's always like little words like numbers in million or what does a household mean or whatever. Okay.
The most annoying mistake. Of course, on the side of the graph, it's going to say thousands or millions, right?
Right.
But you know, you don't, when you have a specific number, you don't write an S next to the word thousand, right? But everyone does.
I know. That is one of the most common mistakes ever. Yeah. Guys, if it's like just the number word by itself, right? In general, it's not a specific however many million, then yes, there are millions of people. But if there's a number, 6, no S.
How many people on the street, you know, in New York right now? Thousands. But how many, you know, how many dollars do you have in your pocket? 122 right. Or something like that, right?
I wish I had $122 in my pocket. That would be rad. Yeah, cool. Okay. So going back to the story idea, guys, take like 5 minutes and look at the numbers and think about what they mean. And in fact, let's take this a step further and think about if this graph were telling you information that takes place in your city, your culture, your country, what would it mean? Like, what does it reflect? What story is this telling? So this isn't something that you're going to necessarily put in your writing. That's not the point. Because you know, guys, like, you can't put your opinion or, like, read into the numbers or say why the numbers increase. Like, that's not the point of this.
But you still got to approach it from that background, And especially with the maps as well, I think.
Yes. Have you noticed students, can they do maps? Like, how do you teach your students to tackle maps?
I think they do maps quite well, but they lose marks in CC because they don't seem to organize the changes that they see in the maps. They just kind of randomly pick places rather than like...
Yeah.
If you can find a story, sure, organize it according to the story because you know why things change. But if not... Go from, you know, outside to inside or you know, west to east or north to south. Just have some kind of organizing principle. Don't just randomly choose places on the map and say, oh, and then this one changed and then jump around. Like,
right.
That stops them from getting a 7. That's a 6.5 usually. I mean,
that's true. Yeah, because the cohesion, coherence, guys. I mean, yeah, like linking words and logic. So first of all, that's there's no logical organization to just picking random points. But that also comes through because there won't be any transition phrases because you can't connect these random points.
Well, the transition phrases will just be mechanical because there'll be things like furthermore and in addition. Like, what?
Right, where they're pointless. Like basically, you're just saying and and that's not showing me enough functions of being able to organize, right?
Yeah, that's a 6, I think, if you look on the public band descriptors. Yeah,
exactly. okay, cool. So do you have any sort of last tips or tricks for students that are trying to master task one?
I think just take a look at a lot of them. And as a sort of a kind of a bit of a an apology, some of the actual tasks really don't have a pattern, which is quite annoying. And you just got to really describe them in the most boring way. And sometimes you just have to pick the top two, top bottom. But that's rare. And actually, sometimes there is – they'll give you two things that you think there should be a correlation between, and there is no correlation, and that's actually the point sometimes. But those ones are okay. It's just the ones that are just kind of boring and with nothing in them. But overall, I mean, 90% of them, there's some kind of pattern there if you can see it. So if you look at enough of them, and look at the the sample answers by Simon and some good ones on the internet. You'll start to learn how to read them, and then they just get easier. With time, you should be able to do a running task one in 20 minutes quickly it first. And with 3 or 4 minutes to really work out what's going on. Yeah,
totally.
And don't approach it just like, oh, this is a pie graph, this is a bar graph. Work out what's going on, because it's pie graphs can be changed through time. Tables can be changed through time. Sometimes it can be a static comparison. And when it's comparing two different kinds of numbers, don't compare apples and oranges.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Guys, this all comes back to you just need to give it some thought.
Bit of common sense,
Exactly, yeah. I think maybe experiment with seeing how often you could write an overview or an overall trend
what is actually being counted? That's what I asked them. What do the numbers represent?
Nice.
That's because that becomes your grammatical subject in most of your sentences, right? And if you don't know what it is, then you actually write a whole task without actually referring to what you're actually talking about. Like,
that happens so often. That happens all the time. Oh, gosh. Okay, guys, so you have learned today how important task one is and how necessary that, guys, if you are aiming for that magical, glorious, glittery 7, you need to understand task one also, so don't ignore it.
Don't underestimate the one.
The one and only task one. Okay, well, Daniel, I would love to have you on as a guest again in the future. So, if anything IELTS related occurs to you and you're like, I really want to talk to thousands of people about it, then you're always welcome on IELTS Energy, okay?
All right. Thank you, Jess. My pleasure.
Daniel, have a good day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to IELTS Energy. Hit subscribe now and don't forget to find your estimated band score at allearsenglish.com/myscore.